Steve Bailey just hit a home run. Could you have picked out a more perfect song?
Seems appropriate.
For what we're about to talk about. Great, great stuff.
Seems very appropriate.
We're coming your way today from Lorain County Community College, celebrating National Community College Month. We're at Commodore Books & More Bookstore. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. And, boy, do we have a really interesting topic to discuss here. First, let's welcome in Professor Reagan Silvestri. Thanks for having. Thanks for coming on here. It's a pleasure to have you on here. I know we had you on last year. And before we get in to the topic of conversation here, which is the chemistry of the flavor of whiskey, you know, congratulations. You won a bike award last
year.
Yes,
thank you, Andy.
Well, let's get in to the flavor of whiskey and the chemistry behind it. You actually brought some props here today. So for those that can't see this in radio world, tell us what you brought.
Well, Andy, first off, thanks for joining us for Community College Month. We're thrilled to be here and thrilled that you guys are here with us. And again, my name is Reagan Silvestri. I'm a professor of chemistry here at Lorain County Community College. And the topic I wanted to talk about today is the science of the flavor of whiskey. And I brought with me a couple of bottles. This is the Cleveland Whiskey Black Reserve, and this is the Cleveland Whiskey Underground Black Cherry finished. And so what we have in the Department of Chemistry and Division of Science and Mathematics here at Lorain County Community College is basically an undergraduate research project. So we have a group of students working basically on the science of the flavor of whiskey. So the way the project works is that Cleveland Whiskey has invented a new process for basically developing new never-before-invented flavors of whiskey. So they're inventing new flavors of whiskey. They're providing those new flavors of whiskey to us, and we are analyzing them to come up with like a scientific analytical description of what that flavor is. What flavors are in that whiskey? Why does it taste the way it tastes, and how should it taste? And, you know, would an expert think that does taste good?
Okay, and I want to get into the process for a moment, but can we talk about the growth of this particular project? You were telling me earlier, this started about 4 years ago with just a couple of students, and now you're all the way into the 20s. You said about 24, 25 kids?
About 24, 25 students we have now. So it happened, I would have to say, maybe a little bit by accident. I was on a tour of Cleveland Whiskey, and I ring the doorbell, guy answers the door, and the guy who answers the door is the founder of the company, the inventor of the technology. I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. This is going to be a great tour, right? So I'm thinking that I'm going to find out about exactly, I'm thinking Cleveland Whiskey is a whiskey company. What I found out, Cleveland Whiskey is not a whiskey company. What I found out that day, this is ancient history. This is 4 years ago. What I found out is that Cleveland Whiskey is a technology company. Just so happens that they're working in the whiskey sphere, the whiskey space, right? So they're a technology company. It's just that their product is whiskey. As a technology company, so what they've invented is a new process for rapid aging of wood, of whiskey. In the wood, and the way that process works is by pressure. So I should back up, right? Whiskey making, right? Alcohol making. Okay, so to make alcohol, you start with some form of sugar. That's usually rye or grain or what have you, any type of carbohydrate. That's your form of sugar, right? Mix in some yeast, it ferments. You've got alcohol. Now that's got yeast and all types of other disgusting stuff. It smells horrible. If you've ever been in a brewery, you'd never want to drink it, right? So you distill it. When you distill it, what happens then is it purifies it. You're left with just grain. So it's like it's just a transparent liquid, right? Because it's pure alcohol. It's just moonshine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any good flavor. There's no pleasure to drinking it. So that spirit, that clear transparent, it's just ethanol. It's just ethyl alcohol, right? It's placed in a wood barrel. And traditionally, you know, whiskey making, bourbon making, traditionally, that barrel was aged for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, 12 years for a really expensive bottle. And when Cleveland Whiskey was founded, they said, you know, we don't want to sit on our product for 5 years until how we know how much product to make, how much we're going to product we sell in 5 years, right? So the idea behind Cleveland Whiskey is to develop a new technology to rapid pressure age whiskey. So using pressure to age whiskey in wood in a matter of 24 hours. So instead of letting it sit around for 12 years, right, they have a in a barrel. right? They put it in a stainless steel vessel, the clear spirit, put it in a stainless steel vessel with pieces of wood, and that stainless steel vessel is pressure tight. So when you put the lid on, there's air in the headspace that when you turn pumps on, you can pressurize that headspace. And basically what you're doing is using pressure to force the alcohol into the wood.
Wow.
And so in a matter of 24 hours, the clear spirit becomes brown, it becomes aged, it's been flavored with wood. Now, traditionally, it's oak barrels that have been used because only oak is hard enough, strong enough to withstand sitting around for 12 years without losing too much from evaporation. But they're not using barrels. They're using the stainless steel vessel. So they're not limited to oak. So what they proceeded to do was to invent cherry-flavored bourbon and hickory-flavored bourbon and maple-flavored bourbon and all these, like, so it's considered naturally flavored because it's not extract. The reason it tastes like cherry is because it uses cherry wood, right? If you're to buy vodka, that's like all blackcurrant vodka.
Yeah.
They took vodka, they added some blackcurrant syrup to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason this tastes like cherry is because it's using cherry wood. So we consider it naturally flavored. So when we first got these, they were experimental products, right?
Yeah.
They weren't even commercially available. The students were so excited, right? We have in our lab these experimental flavors that nobody has ever tried before. And those flavors have since been commercialized, and we're moving on to more new exotic flavors of whiskey since then.
Wow. Well, you talked about the students getting involved with this whole project, and you have one of your students with you right now.
Yes.
This young man with the name of Clayton Masterovich. You guys are actually almost identically dressed. Black shirt,
was
black tie.
Yes. That was the plan.
Yeah, and that's actually, you can't see it in radio world, but it's a black tie.
We'll post a picture
shirt,
on Facebook.
We'll post a picture
soon,
on
yes.
Facebook so you guys can all see this out there. But so, Clayton, give us an idea as to what this is like from your perspective, being a part of this experience.
Well, before Clayton talks, I have to say we introduced him as a student, right? Clayton started as a student. Clayton's the research manager of the group.
Oh, wow. Very cool, okay. Man.
Nice.
So looking at it from my point, there's actually a lot we've done in the past. I mean, we've done the GCMS testing, which that's actually how we get to our research. We use GCMS, gas chromatography, mass spectroscopy, which lets us assign peaks and identify what the chemical compounds are inside the whiskey, which is actually how we identify what's the difference between this whiskey versus traditional aged whiskey.
Sure.
Like, we found out through this aging process that it's chemically identical to name brand whiskeys, high-end name brand whiskeys, with the addition of a few slight chemicals that do not impart flavor to the whiskey itself.
Wow.
So technically what's happening is Cleveland Whiskey is developing the new flavors. Mm-hmm. They provide us with these new flavors, and we analyze them. So we get samples of whiskey, and Cleveland Whiskey, they'll give us these new samples. They'll say, what do you think that would taste like? Would that be any good, right? So, like, I just poured these two. You can see them, right? You can see with your eyeballs, that one's lighter in color.
Yep.
That one's darker in color, right? So that's maple wood, and that's cherry wood, right? So if you give it a little smell, right, if you give a little smell, you say, well, I can smell that's going to be different. I can smell that's going to be different. Well, that's going to taste different, right?
Yep.
So what we're able to do is analyze these samples. In our lab, we have a technique, an instrument called gas chromatography mass spectroscopy. Right.
Don't try and say.
Yeah,
it 10
I was
times
say simple to say. Yeah.
Yeah, get it. So that's why, as Clayton said, we refer to it as GCMS. That's much easier. Okay. So what you got to think about this whiskey is being right. It's a very complex mixture of flavors. All those flavors are in there from the wood, and so there's hundreds and hundreds of different compounds in there, all in there from the wood, but they're in very low quantities. So there's a few parts per million of some compound, a few parts per million of another compound. What the gas chromatography mass spectroscopy does is it takes this complex mixture, separates all the different components of it, and analyzes and identifies each of those components. So when we're done, we have something like a flavor fingerprint. We can say there's 5 parts per million of ethyl hexanoate. There's 10 parts per million of ethyl octanoate. What flavors are in there? We can list them. How much is in there? We can list them.
Wow.
And once we know what those flavors are, we can start to describe, do you think that might taste good?
That's crazy.
And Cleveland Whiskey will provide these experimental flavors to their taste experts along with our data. Somebody's got to decide what to commercialize next.
This is fascinating. I mean, sitting out on the outside, not knowing a whole lot about chemistry, but to think this all started with putting alcohol in a barrel, and now it's come to here. The evolution's amazing, and you guys are kind of on the forefront of it, figuring it all out.
And it's been a lot of fun for us. I think it's been a lot of fun for the students.
Yeah,
I would imagine so. Now, this particular semester, is there anything different than what you did the previous semester? Are you kind of teaching the same thing? Are you guys always evolving?
Well, I wouldn't say teaching, right? It's what it is it's a research group. Right. So these students, we're up to 25 students in the group now, basically just show up in their spare time for fun, just because they want to be involved, just because they want to do this. So on Friday afternoons, we get together and we do some science nerd stuff.
Sure.
And our science nerd stuff just so happens to be whiskey centered. And so we think of ourselves as like the science gang. So, you know, we're a group of like-minded people. We like to have fun, and what we have in common is science. So we do the science nerd stuff on afternoons. What I was describing before, the cherry whiskey and all that, that was how we started. That's ancient history. That's 3 years ago. We've done some other interesting projects since then. This one I'll show you over here, Radio Land You Can't See. This is Baijiu, which is a Chinese spirit. And you see it's transparent, right? So the idea was to take this. It's the most widely consumed spirit in the world. It's not made from rye. It's not a bourbon, right? It's made from sorghum. So sorghum is the source of carbohydrate, which is fermented and distilled. But if you take the lid off and you smell it, right, it's like, well, that's kind of exotic. I don't know what to make of it, right? It's because it's different for me. Because I'm American, I'm not used to drinking this stuff, right? So the idea was to take this product and try to, like, Americanize the flavor of it. So we took the Baijiu, or actually Cleveland Whiskey did, right? They took the Baijiu, see the clear spirit, and you can see with your eyeballs, right? Mm-hmm. It's brown now because it's been aged in wood. And you can smell that it's going to taste different. Is that good? Somebody's got to decide, right? Is that interesting? So that was what we did last year. What we're doing this semester is a couple of interesting projects. One we call the Apple Moonshine Project. The other one we call the Skunk Wine Project. So the Apple Moonshine. Okay, so one of my students came to me and said, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who's making moonshine from apples.
Everybody knows that someone, yeah, that's right.
No names here, right? Okay.
Right.
So, because all you need is some type of sugar, some type of carbohydrate. So they're making it from apples instead of from grain. And I thought, well, that would be interesting. What type of exotic apple flavors would be in that apple moonshine? I said, can you get me a sample of it? So we got a sample of it, and we analyzed what flavors are in there. And the result of that work, what we found was, of course, there's ethanol in it. That's ethyl alcohol, drinking alcohol.
Sure.
What we found in it was a bunch of larger alcohols. So ethyl alcohol is a 2-carbon alcohol. We found 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 carbon alcohol. So basically some larger, heavier leftover alcohols that weren't distilled out in very, very small quantities, like fractions of parts per million. But we were looking for, like, we thought we were going to find exotic apple flavors. We didn't find them.
Huh.
And I went back to him. I said, you guys distilled that like crazy, right? And they said, yeah, we twice distilled it because we wanted to make sure all the methanol was out of there. I'm like, well, when you twice distilled it, you basically distilled all of the flavors out of it also. So anyways, the student knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And what they're working on now is a batch of banana moonshine.
Oh, boy.
So I told him, I said, get me the banana moonshine. I want a sample before it's distilled. I want a sample after it's been distilled once, and I want a sample after it's been distilled twice. Can we see how the flavor changes through the process? Can we recommend something in the distillation process to help them retain some of that banana flavor to the moonshine?
Wow.
The other project we got going this semester, we call that the Skunk Wine Project. So about a third of the students in the research group are actually high school students from our early college high school here on campus. So we have high school students, sophomores, juniors, seniors, working on this because it's about science, right?
Yes, it's all about science.
It's about science. Yeah. It's science work, okay? So the guidance counselor who registers the high school students said, I've been trying to make some wine, and it tastes awful. She says the stuff is just undrinkable. Why? Can you help me? What is why is that happening? I said, well, get me a sample. We'll look at it. We'll try and figure out what's wrong with it, right? So what gas chromatography mass spectroscopy does is it just does the flavors that are in there. So we analyzed her skunk wine, and we found a bunch of sulfates in it. So that's why it tastes like skunk. She's got sulfates in there. Yuck. So now, I mean, so that data is just about 2 weeks old. Now is for the students to look at that, say, well, where did the sulfates come from? How did they get in there? What can we recommend about the process that would hopefully leave the good flavors in but get the bad flavors out?
Sure.
Okay. Jeez, yeah. I mean, that's – you guys cover a lot of ground from banana-flavored moonshine to
skunk wine.
That's a lot to cover. Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. This is a lot of fun. It was a learning experience for Matt and I.
It certainly was.
Speaking for you, just because I'm assuming that was a
learning experience. Yeah, it was a learning experience.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun, though. A lot to take in for sure. Reagan, Clayton, thank you guys for joining us. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks to you guys for being here for Community College Month. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.